live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Irish Medical Organisation says the plan for GPs and pharmacists to administer COVID vaccines marks a milestone in the battle against the virus. A woman has sustained serious head injuries following an early morning assault in Letterkenny. A Donegal sergeant has described the COVID impact among Gardaí as reaching a pinch point. Meanwhile, 28 extra Gardaí have been deployed to the northwest to maximise frontline capacity in policing level 5 restrictions. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. But first news. Cabinet has approved a plan that will see GPs and pharmacists administer COVID vaccines. The €91 million plan will allow them to give the AstraZeneca vaccine once it's approved by the European Medicines Agency at the end of the month. The Irish Medical Organisation says the plan marks a milestone in the battle against COVID-19, while the Irish Pharmacy Union says it'll significantly increase the country's ability to rule out doses. Donegal Dr Dennis McCauley from the IMO's GP subcommittee says supply of the vaccines is now the only issue to overcome.
We did 1.4 million flu vaccines in under 6 weeks before Christmas. The only issue that was delaying that somewhat was the supply of the vaccines. So we have a proven record of being able to give a large amount of vaccines in a small amount of time.
Meanwhile, a number of TDs have warned a fourth and fifth lockdown will be on the cards if the government doesn't change its COVID policy. People Before Profit wants to see a zero COVID approach taken with a focus on eliminating community transmission. The government has previously said they don't believe this is achievable, largely due to the fact that we share the island with another jurisdiction. TD Richard Boyd-Barrett believes a zero COVID approach is the only way to go.
The question will arise: do we, as we did before Christmas, lift the restrictions prematurely and enter into yet another cycle of surge and lockdown, or are we going to try and eliminate community transmission so that this is the final lockdown?
The head of the HSE, Paul Reid, says hospitals are well into the surge for critical care and the situation remains concerning. For the second day in a row, a record 200 patients are being treated in ICUs around the country. The number of people in hospital with the virus has decreased for the first time since Christmas Day to 1,954. However, the number of patients with the virus being treated at Letterkenny University Hospital has hit another record high. As of last night, there were 120 patients with the virus being treated on site, with 6 in ICU. Environment Minister Eamon Ryan is hoping the daily virus figures could slowly be decreasing.
It's tough. It's very hard to kind of put up with another lockdown, but the figures are starting to head in the right direction.
A Donegal sergeant has described the COVID impact among Gardaí as reaching a pinch point. A detailed report into the impact of COVID-19 on an Garda Síochána is due to be presented to the policing authority next week. A recent survey revealed that almost 50 Gardaí in Donegal were out of work due to COVID-19. Sergeant Paul Wallace says there's no doubt that Gardaí are more exposed to potentially contracting the virus due to the nature of the job. He's been reacting to comments made by the Garda Commissioner last night.
I noticed there that he said last night he was slow to give figures, but he said 86% of the workforce was available, that we were 14% down, and he put that 14%, 1,500 to 1,600 people are members.
Yeah.
And he said that varies, it goes up and down, as you know, like people being close contact and, you know, having to isolate, and then people who actually are sick. He said that the exact numbers would be provided to the Policing Authority report and the Policing Authority report next week, but we do seem to be, there seems to be a pinch point now, all right. And, you know, I know vaccines are coming and there's a whole debate about who should get them and all that. And he was asked about that and he said, we'll take our place in the queue. But there are some of our people, or a section of our people, that are more vulnerable and more exposed than a lot of others of us, mm-hmm. that have the luxury to be able to say, well, I don't have to meet that person. I can give people advice over the phone, which I've been doing now. I'm slow to go and meet people, and there's various ways of doing that. But there are the people then that have to go out and interface with people, whether it's on a checkpoint or at a call or an assault or whatever, where tempers are raised or whatever. People are exposed in that scenario.
Well, it comes as 28 extra Gardaí have been deployed to the northwest to maximise frontline capacity in policing level 5 restrictions. 12 Garda reserves and 16 new members have been allocated to the region. A total of 71 new Gardaí and 69 Garda reserves have been deployed to the frontline today. The new officers began their training in May 2020 through online learning and training in the Garda College and in stations. The Garda reserves have also completed training to prepare them to contribute to frontline policing, including public compliance with health guidelines. Another 24 people have died with COVID-19 in Northern Ireland, including 17 in the past 24 hours. 713 new cases of the virus have also been confirmed. There are 842 people in hospital with the disease in the north, which includes 70 in intensive care. Hospitals there are now operating at 97% occupancy, with just 36 ICU beds available. Meanwhile, there are calls on the North's Health Minister to address what's been described as a postcode lottery in terms of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. A number of GPs in Tyrone have been expressing concern over what they claim to be the unequal and unfair distribution of the vaccine. West Tyrone MP Orla Begley says she has written to Minister Robin Swan, urging him to urgently rectify the situation. She says measures need to be put in place to ensure particularly the most vulnerable are vaccinated.
Myself and a number of other party representatives have been receiving representations from GP practices right throughout West Tyrone and beyond in respect of the unequal and unfair distribution of the COVID-19 vaccines. Some general practitioners have contacted me with serious concern about the rollout of the vaccinations in terms of some GP surgeries receiving a bigger allocation than others. I have written to Minister Swan to highlight the disparities and I've urged him to rectify this as soon as possible.
And indeed, at this early stage of the vaccine rollout, it's the most vulnerable in society that are being affected by this.
Yes, that's correct. The most vulnerable are obviously our priority at this time. And I've also taken the opportunity to highlight with the Department of Health those who are housebound and unable to attend their GP practices. We've been advised by the Health and Social Care Trust Board that they're looking into this and providing guidance this week in terms of those unable to attend GP surgeries for their vaccines. So I'll continue to press them to ensure that they aren't missed and that the opportunity for them to receive the vaccine isn't overlooked.
Discussions are to take place to ensure the reopening of schools for children with special needs goes ahead. The Irish National Teachers Organisation said it had grave safety concerns over plans for the reopening on Thursday. The Department of Education is facing calls to reconsider its plan. Labour's education spokesperson Aidan O'Riordan says this is a very different discussion to the one had when schools opened in September.
Partners in education have been working hard. The situation is very different, as you can appreciate from your previous conversation, it was last September. The virus is clearly out of control and there's huge concern within the teaching and SNA community. But I do feel that, you know, there is still a possibility for vulnerable young people with additional needs to get back into the classroom, but it has to be done on the basis of a collaborative and partnership approach.
A Donegal Leaving Cert student says pupils feel frightened and lonely over the uncertainty surrounding the exams. The government has said it's their intention for the exams to go ahead. Schools are due to reopen in less than 2 weeks' time, with some claiming February the 1st as the big decider date on if the traditional Leaving Cert can proceed. Students have been calling for clarity on whether they can expect to sit exams or be given a predicted grade. One of them is local student Lucas, who spoke earlier on today's 9 till noon show.
I don't even know where I could start. You know, the amount of the feeling of like fear and loneliness and from, you know, being at home. And naturally from when you, every time you turn on the news, there's 2,000, 3,000 cases a day. And that's really affecting young people, not just young people. But, you know, when we're sitting here and they're telling us, you know, you're having your Leaving Cert, you're doing your Leaving Cert, you're going back in February, regardless of cases. How wrong is that? You know, when students are crying, they look at their books and they're like, oh my goodness, you know, like I have a Leaving Cert and they're going to make no exceptions. I still have to finish the course. And there is absolutely no need for it from the government. I believe I'm so disappointed in my own government that they wouldn't listen to the students on something only students do. Mm. You know, it's we need, you know, and the mental health of students, help was given to guidance counsellors to help reach out to their students? I'm not seeing any, you know what I mean? And for the students I know that need that help, you know, they're not getting it and they need it. And, you know, there's no talk and there's no discussion. It is just what Norma Foley wants, Norma Foley does, and that is it.
A woman has sustained serious head injuries following an early morning assault in Letterkenny. The incident happened shortly after midnight at Fairgreen Park. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The female victim sustained serious head injuries as a result of the attack and was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment. Gardaí believe that a number of implements were used in what's been described as a sustained assault. A man is currently in custody in relation to the incident. Meanwhile, Gardaí have confirmed that the incident initially began outside the premises, with two men also sustaining injuries. There was also significant damage caused to a front door panel as a result of the attack. Gardaí are appealing for witnesses. Anyone with information is being urged to contact them at Letterkenny Gardaí Station.
Meanwhile, an investigation has been launched after a digger was set alight in the Gidore area last week. Gardaí believe the fire, which occurred at a local quarry at some stage between Wednesday and Friday last, was started maliciously. Anyone who noticed any suspicious activity in the area is being urged to come forward. The government has been accused of doing the bare minimum over designating extra ports for UK-registered fishing vessels. It's been confirmed that fishermen will be permitted to land their catch in Greencastle, Burtonport and Rathmullen, as well as Killybegs from February the 1st. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle previously stated that Donegal alone needs seven such ports. He says the issue had been well flagged and could have been dealt with better long ago.
Surely the department, the SFPA and the government knew that this was going to happen and knew there was an issue in relation to this. And why did they have to leave it to fishermen to actually campaign to make these changes 2 or 3 weeks after Brexit can cause such huge anxiety for fishermen around the coast? And thankfully, nobody was hurt. But if a fisherman was forced to steam from Greencastle around the Killybegs to land their fish, that could have had serious consequences.
So, do you feel then that it was effectively swept under the carpet?
Yeah, I think that the Department of the Marine, the government, and were just basically not doing their homework. And it makes you wonder what else is actually they haven't bothered looking at. And it just seems to be what it is, that they didn't bother looking at it. Fisheries, there was enough publicity around the fisheries and the implications for the fishing industry with Brexit that surely our own Department of the Marine would have looked at it.
Now, you previously stated that Donegal would need at least seven ports. Do you feel some fishermen will still be impacted by this?
I think we'll have to wait and see to see what impact it is having. But I think, it's hugely welcome and is a vast improvement on what was there. This is what I was afraid of as well, is that, the government would do the minimum, they get them over the line by designating ports, and then you'd be left with people individuals who would be stuck, where the government could have designated a lot more ports at the start.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Kickstart your running with top brand footwear at michaelmurphysports.ie. Free nationwide delivery.
Time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer. There have been three transfer moves concerning Republic of Ireland players today. Senior international Richard Keogh has signed for Huddersfield Town on a contract that will expire at the end of the season. The 34-year-old centre-back has left MK Dons to sign for the English Championship side. Keogh, who was sacked by Derby County in controversial circumstances over a year ago, joined the Dons last August and has started 21 games in League and Cup. He will link up with Ireland under-21 international Danny Grant, who made the switch from Bohemians last month. Fellow senior international Conor Hourihan is set to join Championship club Swansea City. It's reported the Aston Villa midfielder will join the Welsh side for the remainder of the season. Hourihan had been at Villa Park since 2017. And Queen's Park Rangers have sent under-21 international Conor Masterson out on loan for the rest of the season. The 22-year-old centre-back has joined League One club Swansea Town, who are managed by former Ireland midfielder John Sheridan. On the pitch tonight, cross channel, Leicester City can go top of the Premier League if they beat Chelsea at the King Power Stadium. It's an 8:15 kickoff there. The Foxes are hoping Jimmy Vardy will be available, but Chelsea are without N'Golo Kante. Leicester manager Brendan Rodgers has high praise for his squad's performances so far this season.
The players have been outstanding up until this point, but something that I always reiterate, that you have to retain that hunger and desire, which is very important if you want to constantly be up in that top echelons of the league. So we are fighting with some super teams, lots of big teams up there, but our guys are competing, and that's all I can ask.
Well, Chelsea manager Frank Lampard thinks Jamie Vardy's one of the best strikers in world football. Vardy, of course, will be hoping to fire Leicester to the top of the table with a win tonight. Lampard knows his defence will need to be at their best to stop him.
Jamie Vardy's an amazing player. I love watching him just as a neutral because of the way he plays the number nine role, the way he's so dangerous and wanting to run in behind teams, and one of the best strikers in the Premier League for sure. But I think if you look at a world stage of the players of his type, he's absolutely right up there.
Before that game, there's a 6 o'clock kickoff at the London Stadium as West Ham United host West Bromwich Albion. Hammers boss David Moyes believes he's starting to make his mark on the team. After fighting against relegation last season, victory this evening would move the Londoners within 2 points of the top four. Moyes is pleased with the progress, but isn't getting complacent.
I understand the players are doing a great job, and we're encouraging them to continually improve. And no, we don't want to be finished where we are just now. We want to pick up a lot more points.
There's other action tonight as well. In the third round of the FA Cup, Southampton play Shrewsbury Town at 8. Well, there's also 5 games in the Championship. Among them, Stoke's James McLean is available for the trip to Rotherham after serving a one-match ban for breaking COVID-19 regulations, while Swansea can move within a point of leaders Norwich if they win away to Blackburn Rovers. The GAA will provide an update on its plans for the season ahead of the end of the month. It is still hoped that the league and championship competitions will be played depending on public health advice. However, it's widely speculated this week that the commencement of the Allianz Leagues, due for February 21st, will be pushed back towards the end of March. If the National Leagues do begin late March, the Championship Series would soon follow, culminating in a mid to late August finish. The appointment of a new County Under-20 manager here in Donegal could be confirmed in the next week or so. It has emerged that there is at least 2 nominations for the positions. Outgoing manager Sean Paul Barrett and former County Minor manager Gary Duffy of Buncrana. Barrett led Donegal to an Ulster final last season, and he told this morning's Donegal People's Press that he is leaving his name in the hat to continue in the position. Gary Duffy said he was still considering whether or not that he would contest the role. In rugby, Connacht centre Bundee Aki is close to making his return from a knee injury. Aki could yet be fit for Ireland's Six Nations campaign. He hasn't been ruled out of Connacht's refixed Pro 14 encounter with the Ospreys at the Sports Ground, which takes place this coming Sunday. The JP McManus Pro-Am at Adair Manor has been rescheduled until July 2022 due to the uncertain public health environment. The Invitational was due to be held in Limerick this July, but has been postponed and will now be staged on July 4th and 5th next year. Organisers felt that with 40,000 golf fans from around the globe attending, it would be better to facilitate a smooth and safe running in 2022. And in horse racing, Cheltenham Festival winning trainer Charles Burns has been given a 6-month ban by the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board. It was revealed that one of his horses, Viking Horde, was found to have tested positive for a sedative in a race at Tramore in 2018. Limerick handler Burns has also been fined €1,000. And he does, of course, have the right to appeal. And that's it from the sports desk for today here in Highland. And as always, Michaela, we'll have more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, there are calls for the speed limit on the golf course road in Letterkenny to be reduced following a number of incidents where walkers have been hit by passing vehicles. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, today sitting of the Letterkenny Municipal District, called for the speed limit on the road to be reduced to 60 kilometres per hour in the interests of safety. Donegal County Council has confirmed that the road will be included in a review in 2022. Councillor Kavanagh says the popular route presents many dangers for those using it.
This has been raised with me by residents in that area, and they're just very concerned about speeding on that road. And they point out that the road's widely used by walkers, runners, and cyclists, and mullers pushing buggies and so on. And I've been told of 2 incidents in the last year where pedestrians were hit by a vehicle. And in one instance, it was a lady pushing a buggy. So the road's also used by cyclists on the European cycleway route, and they would be, you know, unfamiliar with the road and unaware of the speeding issues. So that's an added danger. there is a review in 2022, and it'd be nice if it could be done before that, but I appreciate that the reviews only happen every few years. I would just hope that at that stage that this road can be prioritised for a reduction in the speed limit.
Weather now, rain will continue this evening with a chance of sleet or snow on higher ground overnight. Lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees and light and northerly breezes. A Stanish yellow rainfall warning is in place for Donegal until 9 o'clock tonight. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a number of TDs have warned a fourth and fifth lockdown will be on the cards if the government doesn't change its COVID policy. People before profit want to see a zero COVID approach taken with a focus on eliminating community transmission. 28 extra Gardaí have been deployed to the northwest to maximise frontline capacity and policing level 5 restrictions. 12 Garda reserves and 16 new members have been allocated to the region. A woman has sustained serious head injuries following an early morning assault in Letterkenny. The incident happened shortly after midnight at Fairgreen Park. And the government has been accused of doing the bare minimum over designating extra ports for UK registered fishing vessels. It's been confirmed that fishermen will be permitted to land their catch in Greencastle, Burton Port and Rathmullen, as well as Killybegs from February the 1st. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, January the 19th. The death has occurred of John Sean Ward, Shesh O'Neill, Ballybofey and formerly Burton Port. Fiona leaving his late residence on Thursday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Shesh O'Neill, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at facebook.com/St Mary's Shesh O'Neill. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, directly to the Donegal Hospice at idonate.ie. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The recent death has occurred in London of Samuel Dill, formerly Gordon Atira, Kerry Keel. Burial will take place in London on February the 18th. The death has taken place of Frank Elvis McGrory, Kerry Keel and Letterkenny. Funeral mass can be viewed tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny in St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Milford Cemetery. Due to ongoing HSE and government restrictions, the funeral is restricted to 10 family members only. The death has occurred in Philadelphia of Eileen McGoldrick, née McMullen, formerly Convoy, County Donegal. Funeral will take place in Philadelphia on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock Irish time. The death has taken place of Jean McCarron, Ballyratton, Redcastle. Funeral Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed on stcolumbusdrung.net. The death has taken place of Patrick Ward, Paddy Allen, Greenland Glenties. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in the Church of the Holy Family, Eden Infa, Glenties, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Mary Doherty, Neely Ban, 8 Riverside Park, Clonmany, formerly Claggan, Urris and Stranorler. Funeral leaving from her home on Thursday morning, going to St Michael's Church, Urris, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Comskate Funeral Directors. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed live on Clonmany Together Facebook page. The death has occurred of Terence Gallen, Drumfergus, at Crossroads, Killigordon. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock on St Patrick's Church at Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page at facebook.com/St Patrick's Crossroads. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.
The death has taken place of Eileen Page, formerly of Sheriff's Road. Due to current restrictions, the wake and funeral will be strictly private for family only. The death has taken place in recent weeks of Hugh Doyle, County Down and formerly Mean Derry Nisloe Annagree. A memorial mass is to be held at a later date. The death has taken place of Alice Gamble, Emmets Park, Castlefin, reposing at St Mary's Church, Castlefin. Funeral tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock with burial immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only if desired. Donations in lieu to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital, Care of Kennedy's undertaker. In accordance with government and HSE restrictions, the mass and interment are strictly private to the immediate family with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Kay Caterson, née Brennan, 16 Ardnalee Park, Strabane, and formerly of Corcullion, Castlefin. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Parkinson's Society, Care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com/webtv.html. The death has occurred of Brendan O'Friel, Toronto, formerly of Knocknamona and Government Terrace, Letterkenny. Cremation will take place in Toronto and will follow local government guidelines. The death has occurred of Edward Markey, late of Blackrock Drive, Ballybuffet, and formerly of Loch Eggish, County Monaghan. Funeral from Lynch's Funeral Home, Castledare, tomorrow morning at 10 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. In accordance with government and HSE restrictions, the mass and interment are strictly private to the immediate family, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The mass can be viewed via the parish webcam, churchservices.tv/Stranorler. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, Care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director. And the death has occurred of John O'Donnell, Big John of Mina Gyan, Letchermack Ward. John's remains will arrive at St Bridget's Chapel, Letchermack Ward, this evening at 6 o'clock for prayers. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. John's funeral mass will be available to view on the Letchermack Ward and Duhery Parish Facebook page. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.